good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back again, still in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. Doing Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well, which is amazing. And last week, Terrorize storied. Terrorize. Why am I saying your full name? I don't know. Tara story. Chapter 8 of the book of Acts, which is amazing. And there's a lot in there. So we're going to dive into that today, continuing with chapter 8 of the book of Acts.
Right. And if you're listening to this on radio and you want to go to the podcast because you missed it, that would be on April 9th. We story chapter 8.
Right.
So that you'll know April
right.
9th. You know, this passage we were talking last week is so filled that literally the time we had for our recorded time slot was gone. And all of a sudden we realized we had 30 seconds.
It's like I didn't get to ask one question.
No, Sabrina didn't get to speak between the story. And now I think at the beginning you asked a question. She did get one question.
I did. My husband gave me wisdom this weekend. He said, Sabrina, be interested, not interesting. And I'm like, okay. Especially, I mean, when you're around other people,
right?
Ask questions about them. Don't always, you know, because some people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was wise for me because I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
I work hard at asking questions because honestly, I'd rather talk about me. God forgive me. I just confessed a sin.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of my husband having to tell me be interested, not interesting. Okay, sorry.
I love it. Thank you, God, for Adam.
Yes, the wisdom is much needed and much appreciated. But it's just the fact that this chapter has so much meat and I mean, when you were talking about before, it has a lot of stuff that is debatable in the Christian circles. And I'm seeing that once you said that made a lot of sense. But just going back to the obedience of Philip, the fact that he was in a comfortable place and preaching the word of God in Jerusalem, and the Lord said, go, and he was gone.
Yep.
Not, what, why?
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable. I don't want to leave. No, yeah. Just went.
You're right. You're exactly right. And it's amazing how God will move us.
Mm.
And if we're not willing to move, he will make things happen so we can. So within chapter 8, mm-hmm. the very beginning, in the Quest Study Bible, which is what I use for my personal Bible that I carry around, it's actually kind of getting pretty sad. I might need to get a different one. But it says that the church was persecuted and scattered. And what I want us to understand is that, have you ever heard of airmail? Somebody who plants with airmail? Have you ever heard that
Mm-mm.
concept?
No.
It's a really fun concept. It's kind of like my idea of planting. My mother-in-law, they have this huge yard in Indiana, and she gets seeds in her hand. Her husband will have tilled the land, and then she will take with her hand the seeds, and she shakes them out and throws them out by airmail into the dirt. And wherever they land, that's where they grow.
So you're saying airmail.
Airmail. A-I-R-M-A-I-L.
Okay.
I know my children say I pronounce. I don't even know how to say it.
I have to stretch out the Houstonian talk.
My airmail. You know what I'm talking about, girlfriend. Come on, give me a break. I can't help that I'm from the South.
Yeah. Oh, I was just in Houston. That is exactly how they talk. Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that's gone from me?
Oh, wow.
I can
okay,
do it.
Okay, so airmail. She shifts the seeds.
And the seeds just fall where they land. And in my mind, when I read Acts 8, where it says the church scattered, when the persecution happened, you have to understand how intense Paul was. There are a couple of words. I'm actually going to give us some words that are in the Greek because they're so profound in the description that they give, that it really makes this come alive way more. The word diasperison, it means scattered, comes from spiro, which means like sowing a seed. So that's why I'm talking about airmail, okay? It is as if the seed needed to be sown, but it wasn't happening, so the persecution was allowed to happen so that the seed would get out of Jerusalem. Jesus told them, you will be my witnesses.
Right.
To where?
Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and all to the end of the earth.
That's exactly right. And my mind, I see God with his big hands, his hands that fashioned and formed all of creation with the seed of the gospel. Mm. And when they weren't doing it, he allowed, through his providence, the persecution to happen so that the seed would scatter. Okay? So
I love that. Makes sense. Absolutely.
Oftentimes we will think that, you know, if we are enduring persecution, that you know, God could never be in it. And granted, God is not in the persecution, but as the persecution occurs, God can be in how we respond. And these disciples would have been the Hellenistic or the Greek Jews that had been in Jerusalem, had stayed behind, the same ones that had complained because their widows weren't being taken care of, were the ones that would have left, because Scripture tells us that the apostles stayed. They didn't leave. Mm-mm. And the reason commentators believe that the apostles stayed is that their work was not yet done in Jerusalem, or they needed to make sure that it was solidified in Jerusalem. So it was all the people that had come in for Passover and experienced Pentecost that would have been scattered out. So they were really essentially probably even most likely going home and taking the word of God back to their home.
Wow.
I know. It's huge.
Yeah.
But the word for when Saul, because it's our Paul, but it's actually Saul doing the persecution, when he was out going after the church in his ferocious manner, okay, the actual Greek word says this word is only used to describe one other place in Scripture, and it's used to describe wild boars as they are out ravaging somebody's garden.
Yeah, those things are crazy.
They're ferocious, and mm-hmm. and they are not neat eaters. I'm serious. I mean, it's like you can see the chomping, but some of it's flying, some of it's falling, some of it may be swallowed, but it is ferocious, and it's ravenous, and it's ugly. The word used to describe Paul as he is going after the church, that is the Greek word used to describe him.
Wow.
That's crazy.
No mercy.
No, that is crazy. And he was going from home to home, grabbing men and women that were believers. They took off, and the Lord scattered the seed, okay, so that the seed could grow in other places. We have to understand how intense it was. It's after the martyrdom of Stephen. They saw how the killing of Stephen totally made all the religious leaders even more happy. And so then they continue even more in their persecution. Now, Scripture then says, but then, on the other hand, the word of God did what? It increased.
It increased.
Okay. You know, we talked about many months ago that when persecution comes from outside the church, that the word of God always increases. Mm. When the division happens from within, the word of God doesn't do so well because it's infighting versus people on the outside working at us. And so they go out, they're running, and they're taking it out, and they're going to proclaim the word of God and to testify. And it says they preached everywhere they went. Now, I want you to think about this. If you are under persecution, somebody is after you, and you are being condemned, possibly even unto death, for doing what you're doing, and you are fleeing, would it be your natural instinct to communicate on that which they're coming after you to get? Because would it be? It isn't. It doesn't seem like it would be humanly the natural thing to do.
Because you're scared.
Right. And what are you afraid of?
Getting killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being caught. Yet it says
they still did it.
Everywhere they went, they preached.
Well, I think it's so interesting in the book of Luke, chapter 6, which is the same author of Acts, that he said, but the word will heal. I can't remember the exact verse or how it said, but it's so funny. It's just, they understood that the word is going to heal these people regardless of how they're going to feel. That is going to shape and change.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing that they really stood on the truth?
I love that.
So that's pretty amazing to me.
So we have Philip who goes into Samaria. Now, what do we know about Samaria? What do you know? What do you remember
from Bible study? Just a Samaritan woman.
Okay. Was she accepted?
No.
Why?
Well, because she was a Samaritan woman. And plus she had other issues, but from where she wasn't allowed to be with the Jews.
Right.
She had to be separated.
She was a half Jew. As a Samaritan, they're half Jew. They're essentially biracials.
Oh, wow.
And not accepted. So they were kept in Samaria. That's the reason why, is they weren't considered whole in the eyes of the Jews.
Oh, were they considered unclean then?
Not good enough.
Okay. They didn't.
Whether unclean is a part of it, I can't say, but not good enough.
Okay, not good enough.
Now, do we see that in our world?
Yeah.
Oh, it just makes me so... Makes me want to grr.
No, me too.
And so Philip goes into Samaria. And when he runs into Samaria, scripture tells us that he begins, Sabrina, in fact, let's just open up. And I would like for you to read Acts 8, verses 4 through 8, because this is where his entrance into Samaria happens. Let's cover that passage.
Okay. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city.
That's amazing.
Just by hearing the word of God, the demons would leave.
Right.
I mean, that's just amazing.
Why? Do you know why?
Because the word of God is alive and active.
That's right.
And sharper than any double-edged sword.
It is. And where's John? What does John 1 tell us, Sabrina? I know you know it.
That the word of God was flesh. Or in the beginning, the word. And the word became flesh.
And the flesh was in the word. And the word was him, he.
Right.
Which is Christ.
Right.
And they cannot be in the presence. They're going to flee the Holy One. And this goes back to, you remember.
It's amazing to me that the paralytics.
It's huge. And how
we need that today.
The word. It has to be the word. We have to be giving the word of God.
But they're receiving it too.
Yes.
They were willing to receive the word.
Because the religious leaders weren't. Their minds were closed.
Right.
They were the ones that were running after them, just like Saul. Okay. But the thing is that it's not for us to decide if a person's heart is closed or open.
You can say that again, I know.
It's not my place to determine. My responsibility is to do what I have seen and heard.
Right.
And to proclaim what I have seen and heard. And based on what I have seen and heard in the scripture, those who proclaim it, there will be people who will believe and receive. There will be people who will reject.
It's not for us to know or to worry about it. Just do and say the word of God.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
And he was faithful to proclaim it. He was so faithful that it had this amazing thing happen, and that people, miraculous signs were happening. And they started to pay close attention. The Quest Bible, NIV, says they began to pay close attention to what he was doing. And the city, because of his proclamation, began to rejoice. And I recently had a comparison in that we had been, as a family, traveling. And our home, you know, we're normal. I mean, we're normal. We're just normal people. We're not anything great. We're just normal. And honestly, if you got to know us really well, you'd probably find out we're kind of nerdy, because we all are book learners. And I mean, it's just who we are. We're just normal. We're not anything great. Okay. But as we were traveling and experiencing life in many different places, I was realizing, and it makes me want to weep, that in our simplicity of just trusting God and his word, the peace that is on our home, it's so profound that sometimes we don't realize how much we have peace until we get out and we get into places that don't have it. And because our home is a home that proclaims the word. There's not a day that our home does not have the word of God spoken, read, listened to, worshiped in song. There's not a day that does not happen in our home. Our home is filled with the word of God. But when you get into places where it's not there, I saw the brokenness and the lack of peace and the lack of joy and hope and healing. And it grieved my heart because the only difference was the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard. Mm. It's not complicated. And that's all it would take is for them to take hold of the word. It's amazing. And I was thinking even like I visited a senior adult home in Arkansas where my grandma's at. If they could just have it plain, I think that they would find more peace in their residence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just different things like that where I was like, wow, the difference is the word of God.
Absolutely.
And that's what they were getting from Philip. The word of God was taking hold. And it says in scripture, so there was great joy in that city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what city you live in, but we live in Omaha. I would love to see great joy in
Lord.
Omaha, to see our whole city celebrating because the word of God is being proclaimed.
One day.
Yes, soon. Please, Lord, soon. And so we have then an introduction of a man. Now, we're not going to be able to complete this introduction of this person, but our third week on Acts 8 will be Simon. And Philip went to Samaria and proclaimed the truth. And in that city was a man, and his name was Simon. Serena, what do you know about Simon?
Simon the sorcerer?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Someone that does magic.
Yeah. And, you know, it could be that, like, illusions. It could be magic tricks. It could be occultish, as in from spirits that are not of God, that are demon-led, enabling him to do that which is unnatural.
Right.
We don't know the full definition of what his sorcery was, but we know that most likely it's probably all of it.
Right.
Okay. And he's in the city, and he hears of this Philip, and he goes and he starts to follow him. And as he is following him, the scripture tells us that he believes and follows through with baptism along with everybody else. But there's a big debate about whether or not he really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have to come back next week because I will share some of the theologians, what they have to say on either side of Simon and whether or not Simon really believed in the Lord. And so we're looking forward to you coming back. And if you want to contact us, you can reach us at terrorye.com, and we'd love to talk to you, or through the opendoormission.org. God bless. Thank you.